Golden West Club essentially means we're on the West Coast. It's golden because of the sunset. I wanted to truly showcase that San Diego is more than just a huge city. It is Barrio Logan, which I don't think gets enough hype. It's Tijuana, that's right across the border. I mean, we get so much culture from Mexico being right there. It's LA, it's Joshua Tree, it's Mount Laguna. Like, we have the mountains, we have the snow, it comes with the desert.
Welcome back to All Over the Place. I'm your host, Lane Fable. Today's episode, we are joined with the founder of Golden West Club, a locally grown native San Diegan, which is rare these days, my great friend, Veronica Avalos.
Hi, guys. How's everyone doing?
This is the third time we've recorded this episode tonight. So we wanted to get it right for you guys.
Yeah, and let's add that we spoke for, 3 hours?
Prior to even setting up the mic and the cameras.
The first time, yeah. So we're here, hour five.
I've had a great time.
No, we've definitely enjoyed the entire time. Now we're just waiting for a burrito. Thought I'd throw that out there.
So that's another thing that is the first thing you guys need to know. We both have an undying love of food.
And we prioritize getting a good meal in.
Absolutely. Especially a meal sitting across the table with someone you love. And I'm sipping a little bit. So if this goes off the rails, it is absolutely my fault. But V, please tell us what it was like growing up in Chula Vista and living as a local San Diego native, which since moving here, I found it's such a transplant city. You are rare.
Yeah, I feel like it is now my personality trait to tell people I'm a native. I'm so annoying with that because it's one of those things where it's like prior to the pandemic, I swear there was not that many transplants, like even 5 years ago.
Factual.
And now you guys are everywhere. I love you guys though.
I am you guys. I am the transplant yeah. She's talking about.
No, like everybody's welcome. I know it's a beautiful city. Like how can you not move here? I will say growing up, it was a different vibe, you know? All my friends are transplants, so yeah.
I've only been here for 5 months, but I'm already calling it home. I'm like, oh, so happy to be home.
Yeah.
Does that make you cringe when I call it home?
No, absolutely not. I think it's funny because...
Yes, it does.
Absolutely. No, genuinely, it's funny because San Diego is now run by transplants.
It's like booming.
Absolutely. It's like, I can't get away from you guys. I will say, though.
You love me.
I love you guys. I mean, all my new friends, and I say new friends because like I've met you guys all within the last year and a half, all transplants. And also all from the fucking East Coast.
Yes.
Explain that, Lane. Why?
I mean, listen, you grew up here. You know what's better than San Diego weather and life.
That's true. Nothing.
Facts.
I'm also spoiled, so I'm like... There's worse weather than this.
What was it like growing up in San Diego?
Honestly, I think everyone's experience is different. I know some friends that wanted to leave as soon as, you know, college came around. For me, I absolutely loved it. I ran the streets of Coronado in eighth grade. Like,
I'm dead.
I know, but I was a goody two-shoes because I grew up playing soccer. So I think my experience was unique in that, like, everyone's like, how do you know San Diego so well? It's because I grew up playing soccer in Coronado, in Claremont, in Del Mar, in Ocean Beach. So like every couple of years I would change club soccer teams. So I got a bit of everything in San Diego. So it's really cool to grow up in San Diego. I'm not going to lie.
Did you know that you were beyond lucky to be living this life here?
No, you're going to murder me for this.
Yeah, I know.
You want to hear this?
I already know.
No, in like a bad way. There was one time in high school, I remember a year went by and I realized I didn't go to the beach for a year. So I know. I think, and this doesn't go for all San Diego natives, but for me, genuinely, I think I just didn't realize how amazing of a city it was. I didn't take advantage of it, but in a sense, yeah. I mean, a whole year didn't go to the beach.
I think it's also just what you knew.
I mean, I'm so used to the beach, right? And it's like, I
You know, well, you just knew it was going to be there.
Exactly.
And you've always had it and you grew up with it because
yeah.
I remember when I first moved out here, I was like, do these little La Jolla Groms driving by on their little electric bikes at 7 a.m. while I walk Nova Nero understand just how lucky they are that like this is their upbringing?
I mean,
but I think
let's hope they do.
I think that's just me getting older. And it's one of those things that it's like you realize once you're out of it. And I'm not saying I'm old, but mm-hmm. they say that like the youth is wasted on the young in the sense that you don't fully have a grasp of what you have until it's gone. Like,
absolutely.
Think about the days when you were running around being a hood rat in Coronado, like no responsibilities, just nothing. Fun, hanging out with friends, soccer. Like, it's like, where are we going to get ice cream next? Like, it's just, it is what it is. But now you look back on it, you're like, I had so much free time.
Yeah.
All I wanted to do was be older.
Yeah.
Just the sickest.
No, and it's funny that you bring up these La Jolla natives because.
Oh, yeah, because I moved to La Jolla. So we need to also.
I want your unfiltered
thoughts on La Jolla.
I mean, okay, well, we'll get to that when it comes because that's a whole other thing. La Jolla is amazing, by the way. But I will say growing up, my experience growing up in Chula Vista, very down south compared to people, you know, that grew up in La Jolla and grew up in North County is completely different. I wasn't that Grom, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I was closer to the mountains than they were. I'm like 20 minute drive from the beach.
When I first came out here with a roommate, she worked in she's a nurse. She worked in a clinic in Chula and Vista.
You can say Chula Vista, but I will say, love that you're trying to say Chula Vista.
I mean, Chula Vista, that's how I always said it. And someone's like, what are you saying?
No, do you? I love it.
Anyways, all over the place. I would drive her and it just, like, I got a lay of the land from when I first got out here last September because I would drive her. That's a whole other story. I wanted her on the podcast to tell the story and one day we will, but her car blew up getting shipped out here.
Stop.
Up in flames.
Where was it coming from? On one of those
transport trucks. Like, Jersey. And it was like, got the call, we'll be there in five hours. Then they got the call, there was an accident. And she's like, what? Like, is everyone okay? And they were like, the driver's okay, but your car's gone and everything in it.
You've never told me this. This is insane.
I didn't tell you this.
No. And wait, so her car blew up. So what happened? Did she get her car back or what?
No. When they blew up, I mean in flames. Yeah. It was charred.
Like, did they buy her another or like?
Yeah, insurance gave her money. But like,
oh my God.
It was the most traumatizing thing. And like, it wasn't even my car and my... I mean, granted, it was my situation. That was my best friend and roommate. And it was very much, we both went through a lot of that trauma. But
no, I believe that. Yeah.
So we only had like the one car and it was my brother's pickup truck that I originally drove out here. And I'm dropping her off at like the clinic in Chula Vista. And I'm like, all right, I'll pick you up later. But like, I got a lay of the land. So I think it's really cool now knowing that's where you grew up just because I understand the distance. When I first moved here, I didn't know the difference between the neighborhoods, North County, La Jolla. Wind and Sea is a whole other beast because you're like tucked away.
Absolutely.
So do you think that you'll ever leave San Diego ever?
Oh my gosh, no. And I think I had this realization recently. I went to Miami recently and my best friend moved there. I'm employed by her. It would be ideal to like move over there for a couple years. I always know I'm gonna come back, but I like for a couple years, go work for her there, be in person and then come back. And I went and it's just one of those things where it's like, I have a very tight knit family. And so when I was there, I was like, imagine me living so far from my family. Like I have family in TJ. My parents are in fucking San Diego. And then I have family in Aliso Viejo, which is up towards LA. And I like what? Pick up and go. You're so close to your family. And then they're not even like 5 minutes from you. You know what I mean? Like not to be in the same area, not even an hour drive. Like,
no, that's scary. I know exactly scary. What you mean.
And I know you relate because you love exactly your family. But you tell me you left your family. So how is that like?
Well, that's why I ask, because I felt that like I always grew up in one little 20 mile radius and I wanted to see what else was out there. That being said, I wanted to see what was out there in San Diego. It was like very specific that this was the first place I moved. Yeah. I've thought about moving a million places, not Miami, but like certain places in Florida because I have family there. But there is something special about San Diego.
Would your family ever move out here?
I've been trying to convince my parents, but I don't think so. Yeah. I don't know. My mom was looking at houses to buy while she was here for Easter. See?
Yeah, you never know. Because like once they come visit, oh my gosh.
But it's one of those things. I genuinely believe that you can never take anything off the table. I just think that things change so rapidly. If you would have told me I would be living out here alone with one dog, not with my roommate, not like, just things change so rapidly that like I laugh now when I make plans. I'm like, you're making a plan. It's more of like maybe a sketch at best.
And that's crazy that we get along. I feel like we need to tell everybody how we met.
Well, yeah, I think and how this, we get along. I did this hell out of order. Okay, let's talk about Golden West Club.
Yes. What do you want to know?
Tell me from the inception, what was the passion that drove it? I want to know it all.
All right, you asked for it. It's going to be not a quick answer, that's for sure.
We literally are one in the same.
I'm like, ready for another 30 minutes added to this podcast. So basically, born and raised in San Diego, I had the privilege to grow up in a lot of different areas of San Diego because of soccer. So Coronado, Ocean Beach, Claremont, La Jolla, Del Mar, I was in every area for soccer 3 to 4 times a week, then extend that for like 5 to 6 times a week because of games on the weekend. So I really got familiar with San Diego because of that. And I have even friends who are natives to San Diego and don't know San Diego as well as I do. And I say that because I feel like I am just one of those people that like to go do things, and you know,
I love and appreciate.
And that's why we get along, because we'll get to that.
Full fucking send.
Yeah. So I went to college. I went to SDSU, played soccer there. I had the privilege to also continue my education in San Diego. And I was already going out to restaurants, doing new things, doing day trips to Joshua Tree, up to LA with my friends, because when we had time off, we would take advantage of it. And then it came to a point where I've always loved photography and videography. When TikTok came out, I started to post stuff, and it was one of those things where it's like, I'm already going out to do these things. I already love making little like compilations of all the like.
And your guides, the Golden West Club guides.
Which obviously like.
I live for.
I put so much fucking time into that. I want people to know like that shit takes me days.
You can tell when someone makes content out of passion versus out of following trends.
Yeah.
And you have the utmost attention to detail. Yeah. And you can tell there's just such a love for it.
Thank you. I love when people tell me that, because it feels like my work isn't going unnoticed, you know, like the time I put into it. But so yeah, so college, I started to do a lot of things because then I had a car, you know, and so me and my friends would go do all these fun things. It started to be a trend where we started to go to new restaurants and like go to new places, and I started documenting it. And then my senior year of college, I started Golden West Club. Golden West Club essentially means we're on the West Coast. It's golden because of the sunset. We're on the coast.
And also, I will say, like, this isn't me just being, I mean, maybe it is a little tipsy, a little extra grateful, but like, there is a different, it is life through rose-colored glasses here. Like, everything is kind of golden. Like, even, it's just, I don't know how to explain it to people that maybe haven't been here, which sounds so elitist and shitty, but what you can experience in San Diego, and specifically Southern California, and even like TJ, which I haven't been yet, but everything I've seen through yours, there is just such a rich culture to it, which I guess you get everywhere, but I've driven through Middle America. You can't get it everywhere.
And see, that's what I love about San Diego, and that is why I started my blog, whatever you want to call it, was that I wanted to truly showcase that San Diego is more than just a huge city. It is Barrio Logan, which I don't think gets enough hype. It's Tijuana, that's right across the border. I mean, we get so much culture from Mexico being right there. It's LA, it's Joshua Tree, it's Mount Laguna. Like, we have the mountains, we have the snow, it comes with the desert. We have fucking LA next to us. Like, what a privilege. I mean, although it has a bad rep for being, you know, LA. I'm not going to get into it.
I don't love it, but.
Exactly. But like, you have that choice to go up there.
Yes. And I have, so.
And you get to escape from it by living here. But you, yeah, you get to go up there.
You have it at your disposal. Yeah. But you still have the smaller city, like close-knit feel that San Diego offers that is very rare.
Yeah. And so Golden West Club was really just a way for me to showcase like Convoy Street and like the Asian culture we have here. I mean, the food there is just unmatched anywhere else.
Oh my God, I want to go to get ramen.
You have to. The Yasai. I know it's not the only place to get like good ramen, but like one of my favorite places. But yeah, so you have Claremont, you have Convoy right there, you have Barrio Logan, fire Mexican food. And I know I'm leaving out a lot of stuff, but I just felt like we were not really showcasing these smaller parts of San Diego. And we were really just, I say we, but like a lot of bloggers were just showcasing like the new restaurants, which mm-hmm. is not bad. But like, I felt like we were doing a disservice to like these smaller areas that really make San Diego what it is. And if you can tell, I'm like really passionate about it.
And I think that's another thing we connected on, because I come from a background of my family's bakery that just hit 100 years this year in Hell's Kitchen in New York. And like, that's a rarity. And especially with COVID, I think there was more of a spotlight on, you know, family owned and small businesses and restaurants and bakeries and everything. But I find so much joy in like finding those spots. I think we also connected on this, where I was like, I want to showcase and use my platform for that reason. Exactly. And I think that's another reason I found Golden West Club, because I was searching for the hole in the walls, and your guides are very much like, you can use Google and find the highest rated anything that people yeah. paid for reviews for anything, but, or like they have the most money in marketing, but you're not going to get like the fabric of the culture mm-hmm. if you just go to like the best, yeah. you know, whatever.
And if I may add, I got
roasted on my TikTok.
Oh my gosh. We'll get into that, because I have dealt with the same comments, by the way. And we can definitely dive into that, because it's one of those things where it's like gatekeeping is such an interesting thing, because yes, do I understand that and feel it? But also like, we want to support these businesses. And like, at the end of the day, like, we want everybody to enjoy these things. And it just doesn't feel right necessarily to gatekeep. But there are certain things that I do understand that should probably be gatekept.
Oh, but see, I know exactly which TikTok you're talking about. I wasn't even talking about that. I was talking more of like, I said that I love certain taco shops, and people were like, those are trash taco shops.
But, and that's a whole nother thing, though. It's like, that's your fucking opinion.
Yeah. But I do think that like, did you see that? I put up a video. My whole thing is, I really do want to showcase like family owned businesses, and I want to like bring this stuff, and we go to like a hole in the wall spot and interview people that have been cooking their like family's recipes forever. Cause we both are so passionate about food.
Yeah.
I think it comes from like our backgrounds being Mexican and Italian. Like there are a lot of similarities.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We're so like, I love to say it because you understand, we're loud.
We're animated.
Like we can come off as crazy, but just fiery. That's just our personality.
Yeah. But, and it's all out of love. Yeah. It is all out of love or protection or love.
I mean, it's just really, I think what I talk to my mom about a lot is that we're just very emotional, but like in the best way possible. Like we wear our emotions on our sleeves, and we are just very charismatic, and we're passionate people. It's just a part of our fucking culture. It's in our blood.
Yeah.
But I will say, so back on topic, I mean, I fucking love talking about that. But I will say, though, that every time new people come to San Diego, I automatically take them to Barrio Logan. And it, I always freak out. Why haven't
you taken me yet?
Because you haven't been here. I haven't seen you in for like a month. I'm always shocked to hear that no one knows about Barrio Logan when they just get here. I mean, I've known people be here for a year, months, a couple years, and they're like, what's Barrio Logan? And that for me, like, was a huge deal when it came to like, not when it came to showcasing San Diego. When I hear that people haven't heard of Barrio Logan, I automatically light up. I'm like, you're gonna be obsessed. The art there, the food, the people, the culture, like, it's, I love Barrio Logan. I mean, the tight knit community that's there, you feel it when you walk in.
Have you ever been to New York?
No. Girl, I'm a West Coast girly. I will say, though, a lot of people have gone, so it's just a me thing.
Do you have any desire to go?
Absolutely. Okay. I want to go to Brooklyn so bad. Yeah, I don't know what it is. That's like
the least I've explored. Although my best friend Cassie lives there, so I've been there a bit, but I do know some that just opened a thrift store in Barrio Logan. I do want, we should go.
Somebody opened a thrift store and I don't know about it.
He was out last Sunday, and
Stevie already has a thrift store there, by the way. Shout out to Stevie. Stevie is an OG in Barrio Logan. If you happen to be in Barrio Logan, Stevie's Barbershop or / Barrio Logan thrift store, go check him out. He's awesome. He is a local, and you can just tell.
What is your hope for Golden West Club?
So I started it because it was almost like a people need to see this, like these areas. So what do I want it to be? Whatever it turns out to be. It's just one of those things that I do for fun, and I've definitely have made sure to stay true to what I post is what I like. Mm-hmm. I won't post something I don't like. Mm-hmm. If it's on my page, it's because I can back it up in some way.
Yes. The authenticity. I do think that your stamp of approval has meant so much, because I know that you would never promote something that you didn't like.
Yeah.
And you've told me before, I've asked you about restaurants and you're like, it was mediocre at best.
Yeah. And I will say, not every restaurant I post has great food. I mean, for me, I will never be embarrassed to be like, I just love the vibes there. Food's mediocre, but I love the vibes.
Which is another interesting take, because sometimes people love certain food and some people hate it.
See, and I get shit from it, like from people closest to me. And at the end of the day, like, that's, you know, you choose to spend your time and money where you want. I, at the end of the day, I love vibes. If a place is aesthetic, decent food, okay.
Gonna have a good time.
I'm gonna have a good time though, regardless. And yeah, I'm not gonna buy a whole meal there, but you know, a couple of tapas and like,
yeah.
Alcohol. Like straight shots. No, I mean, cocktail.
Back to Golden West Club and how we met. Will you give the listeners a little rundown of we should talk about how we met?
Well, it's funny because as we were talking for 3 hours prior to this podcast,
we had high hopes and now I'm tipsy and I hope you guys are enjoying.
Lane is literally the definition of all over the place in the best way possible.
Yeah, I couldn't try to be anything else.
No, and that's a thing. Never change. I love that about you.
It's definitely just not in my blood.
I love that energy though.
I think it's just I finally found that, like, it's not that I've ever changed for people, but I've tried to maybe quiet certain parts of me to be like, oh, this person would maybe like resonate with me more.
Yeah.
If I could bite my tongue. And then I realized, I was like, I don't want to be around anybody that has an issue with me being exactly who I am.
Yeah.
And now that I've finally like fine tuned that intuition, I can tell who I don't feel comfortable around. And I'm like, yeah, you're not it. Like, you're just, you're not for me. We're acquaintances, friends, whatever, but like, you're not for me. Like, this is what I finally found out in my 28 years. I'm going to be exactly who I am because I like who I am. You can decide if you like or don't like it, but that has no bearing on me. It's like, if you like it, we'll be friends. If you don't like it, that's fine. We'll go our separate ways.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we also really got along, because when I met you, I was like, oh yeah, she's...
Yeah.
Yeah. 100% herself and just like...
Yeah.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah. No, it takes a certain... Like, you have to be healed to come to that point in your life where it's like, it's a them problem if they don't like you.
I do have to say though, I want to interject. It's definitely a constant evolving and healing. Cause like, I'm absolutely not going to say like, oh, I'm fully healed, but I am in a place that is so much better than I was, where now I can be like, no, I know who I am.
Yeah.
Like, your opinion of me isn't going to change who I am, but you're allowed to have your opinion of me. But if you don't like me, just politely piss off.
Yeah. No, I literally can tell you right now, like 3 years ago, 2 years ago, if someone didn't like me, oh my gosh, that changed my whole mood for weeks.
You're like, how? But why?
Yeah.
It's like, but why? It's like, what don't you like?
Yeah.
And then because I used to do that. And
let's talk about how we met though. Because how the fuck did we meet? We were just talking for like 3 hours before this, and you brought up that we met at Art House, but I thought we met at the Roxy. But now that I remember, Roxy was in June and Art House was in May. So did I really just meet you for the first time at Art House?
Yes.
That's so weird, because
I mean, I found Golden West Club and I had followed you, and like, this is another hill I will die on. I just believe in supporting people.
Yeah.
And this is something that like, I know I repeat ad nauseum, but there is cake for everyone to eat. Yeah, we do similar things. Like, I have a YouTube channel, all this stuff, and everything's very food centric. And so many people would see that as like competition, but I saw yours and I was like, this is fucking sick. So I just started spamming your comments, and it can go one of two ways. People can think that's not genuine, but then when I think we met in person, it was like, oh shit, we just get along.
No, I will say, when you were commenting on all my stuff, I was like, who is this girl? I need to meet her. But combined, we were fucking busy during that time. So I didn't meet you for like months. But I was like, who is this like supporter? Like, who is this girl that's like,
I'm a fan.
Literally, like, I felt a fan. Like I had like somebody that was just rooting for me and I didn't even know you yet.
People get so weird and like shy about supporting others. And I'm like, wait, you're going after everything you want. I think that's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. No. And I want everyone to know Lane literally is like, I didn't even know you. And you were like liking all my stuff, sharing it, putting like commenting.
I love your content.
But like, not even like, a lot of people don't do that. And it shows a lot more about you as a person that you not only like my stuff, but you wanted me to succeed. Like you were like pushing my content out and like.
Makes no sense to me because it's free. That share button's free. Commenting's free. Liking things are free. I don't get when people hold that back. Sorry. I could go off on a tangent. I don't get it. So therefore, because I don't understand it, I just try to act in the way that I would hope that other people would act. And when I saw your content and I was like, this girl has an eye. You have a specific style plus locally grown Golden West Club. And I was like, I'm moving there. I'm really intrigued. And I'm like, this is great. And then we met and you also ended up being a really nice person. And I was like, this is sick. And now she can't get rid of me.
No, you can't get rid of me. Now
we text each other like, let's go on a random road trip on a Tuesday.
I think for you, Lane. So basically we met at our house. We haven't really talked about it. We met at our house.
Which is another endeavor of V's.
Yes, which we can get into. But I will say I met you at our art house, but I really truly met you when we went out to the Roxy with that group of friends.
Yes.
And I felt like you were so energetic and passionate. And we weren't even talking about our blogs because you also, Lane is an OG YouTuber. I don't think if anybody really knows that as in like new followers for you.
I was going to say anyone actually watching this probably knows, but.
No, you have OG followers, but I'm saying like new followers you have, like, do you talk about it a lot on here that you have YouTube and that you have done it since like.
Well, I posted on YouTube. So yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it's been, I guess now it's been 8 years.
You are literally an OG YouTuber. I'm envious of that because. Which is
funny because like I don't think of myself as OG.
What do you mean? 8 years?
No, people started so long before that.
Yeah, but like you started before TikTok's a thing. I feel like when True. TikTok was born, people did start to do it more again. Like it started to be a thing again. Yeah. You know?
I mean, it never went away for me. But
well, of course. But like from someone who doesn't do YouTube.
Like let's just talk about I'm 28 turning 29 and V's 24.
I'm 24. I will say.
So it's like.
I will say Lane has a very youthful spirit. No, like you're so energetic. That's so down. That's huge.
But no, thank you. I will always have this youthful spirit. I think growing up is a fucking trap.
And you're telling me. But I will say when I met you, you filled a void that happened when I graduated college. So basically I lived in a house with 5 girls, including myself, and we would do the coolest shit in San Diego. I wish TikTok back then was it just started. So I wasn't posting everything, but me and these girls would go do the coolest shit. And to me, they were cool. I mean, like, you know, to other people, it might be like whatever, but like day trips to Joshua Tree. We would go from Slab City to Joshua Tree and back home to San Diego.
That's
like
sick.
The most craziest stuff. I mean, we were going to restaurants every week. You know, obviously when we weren't playing soccer or had class, but then they all moved away from me, you know. Relationships fizzle out, and at the end of the day, you know, I had that void where it's like no one. First of all, I live at home now, mm-hmm. and so like I didn't live with a group of girls where I could just go to the next room and be like, let's go to fucking Joshua Tree for the day,
which is another thing we like very much clicked on because I lived with my parents until I moved out here.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing. Like there's so many pros and cons, but like it's just another thing that we aligned on.
Yeah, and I'm tight with my parents. You're very tight with your family.
God, I talk to them all day.
And San Diego's so expensive. I feel like all of us can agree on that. And so, of course, I'm gonna live at home.
Bro, I wish my parents were out here and I could live in their house and cook with them.
I know. And I'm like, I just graduated. Everybody, give me a fucking break. And I did move out for 4 years. So
this is a great topic. I think. This is like, it's not even a hot take. It is so ass that people play down. They're like, oh, you still live with your parents. It is a privilege to one, have a familial relationship that you feel comfortable still doing that and you want to spend time with them. Two, to have the privilege to be able to have a place to stay still. Yeah. If you so care to. And three, you can't get time back. So if you want to spend time with your family, and this isn't to like, anybody who doesn't have that relationship with their family, because I have some family members I will never speak to again. So I'm not saying that it's like, oh, like my family's all the best. My immediate family I love to death.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that if just don't ever let someone tell you or like shame you for living with your parents.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I didn't move out till I was 28, 27. How fucking old was I? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
What? 28.
Yeah. Let's just say 20.
But there's also like, there's no time limit on there's. Don't compare yourself to other people. It doesn't matter. If it's right for you, it's right for you. So when people say shit.
Yeah. And I will say, I'm 24 years old and all my friends are either, like I have a few friends my age. It's just what happened to be was that a lot of my friends are older. So like, it's really one of those things where I have to remind myself like, you, and also like even people my age who are not living at home, I have to just remind myself that this is my journey and it's unique and we all have different journeys and my timeline's different and I think I'm making the right decision. I just graduated from my master's degree and I have the privilege to have a healthy relationship with my parents. It's not perfect. It's far from perfect, but like
no one's relationship is perfect.
I know, you know, but I will say like my parents aren't always home. They're not nagging me. So I have a good situation. And so, yeah, I live at home right now. I have plans, you know, to move out in the future. I really like not paying rent in San Diego, but
I will say, so maybe I'm looking back on it fondly, but this is such a, it holds such a place in my heart because if I didn't have the time home, like I never would have the time that I have with my grandmother before she passed away. And it's one of those things that everyone's like, you still live at home. You don't own a house yet. You don't do this. You don't do that. And I'm like, if you put things, you could die tomorrow. And if you don't have those, like, I don't know, time is just so precious. And I don't mean to get preachy or like whatever, but there is such a conversation and a way that people talk about still living at home as if it's this like embarrassing, shameful thing. And it's like, it's really not.
Yeah. I think every situation is different, but
that's true.
At the end of the day, like, you know, all our situations are just different. So like, mind your business.
I do think that traveling with somebody opens up a new side of them and you learn so much more. Yeah. So take us through our Slab City road trip and how that came about.
I don't actually remember. I mean, what I
texted, it was all you.
I know. So you're the one that planned it. You
no,
came
I was,
to me.
I was so happy to be. No, I mean, like,
I did. No, so I know you get I all texted the you. Oh, okay. Yes. So I know I for sure texted you. And I don't remember because we were going to make it a bigger thing. We're going to do like Slab City Joshua Tree. But we realized we wanted to take more time at Salvation Mountain and Slab City and Bombay Beach. But texted you. You were fucking down, which.
Immediately.
Yeah. You didn't even really question like.
I never knew what Slab City was. No. When I tell you I rolled up to that place without Googling it. So just imagine what I saw. Not even Googling. Like I knew of Salvation Mountain. That's it.
Yeah. And I feel like I sent you some stuff, but when you get there, like it's really in the fucking boonies. Like
it's so different.
So different. And it's so cool though. But I will say it's not for everyone. So it was a really big test to like, is Lane fucking down for anything?
And I remember you saying it's not for everybody. And I was like, what does that even mean?
I know.
And then we showed up and I was like, I know exactly what she means.
Yeah. And like essentially Slab City is like a lot of art. Nomads out there living with no rules.
But when you say art, it is art that was crafted from like people's leftovers and garbage.
Yes. And so,
which is art, but like I just want you guys to get the full picture. If you haven't seen our vlog yet of Slab City, it's on my YouTube channel, go check it out. But it is unlike anything I've ever seen.
It's unique. And again, like you said,
are my tropical plants getting your way?
No, I love it. It's one of those things where it's genuinely interesting, different, and some people would probably hate it. I love it. I love the uniqueness. I think it's art. And when I took you out there, you drove, but when we went together, it was really amazing to like see that you were so excited about it and you were so genuinely interested in knowing more, but not just about what Slab City is, but like
the people. I was so into having the conversations we did with Wolf,
with
the lady at the dot.
That would be
East Jesus.
East Jesus, yes.
But she had some, there was a name on her like caravan of like what it was. But for me, like that has always intrigued me.
Yeah.
And if I so badly want to bring like back my microphones or honestly.
We're going to go back.
I could have even just kind of set up my phone and I like had a conversation about it.
Yeah. And so I feel like that was like a true moment for me and you where it's like, okay, we can go on a 2 hour, well, 4 hour, because 2 hours there, 2 hours mm-hmm. back, road trip, never have a quiet, awkward moment. Because this was like the first time we
hung out.
Yeah, period. I mean,
without going to a bar and drinking and just dancing.
Or like with other people around us or doing easy friendship stuff that you kind of like, you know, dip your toe into, like coffee first.
Yeah, no, it was like, let's get. No. And let's lock each other in a car for a couple hours and go drive to a squatter city in the middle of California desert. And
where there's no turning back.
No turning back, which I will say, I do have to say, because I didn't do any research prior when we got there and I'm driving my car. I was like, this is like slight. And I had Nova in the back. Like, this is like, and I had my DSLR, my vlog camera, my phone. Yep. I was like, this is slightly irresponsible.
No, for sure. Because when you go out there,
there are no laws.
There's no, and you can see that.
There's no one governing that spot.
And
if you don't know Slab City, it is quite literally the slabs of a leftover Marine base from World War II.
Yeah.
People just went out there and decided, hey, we're going to live here. And then more people came and more people came and they created this community where they are self-governing. They're not fully self-sufficient, which we learned on the podcast on the drive back because I was so fascinated. I made us listen to a podcast about the city we just experienced on the drive home because I was like, I need to know more.
Lane needed to know everything.
I want to
and
know
I love that
everything.
About you. You needed to know, you wanted to know down to like, what it's like to even live there. I thought for a second you were gonna be like, I need to spend one night here.
I was like, how, why, what, where, and where are we sleeping?
But we can do, I know. Where Slab City camping? Singles.
So each neighborhood.
Like, yes.
I can liken it to boroughs in New York City.
Yeah.
Which I know.
So, I'm like, what?
You're like, it's like Barrio Logan to San Diego.
Fair enough, but it's even smaller because it's such a, like, mm-hmm. it's like from literally from street to street is different of like, campgrounds almost essentially
and you like can't enter some of them but then some of them they welcome you and want you to tour.
They're all named differently. So me and Lane passed by this Slab City Singles and as two single ladies in San Diego we're like, why not
Slab <That's> City like, Singles.
We're like, that's if we were to live here,
I'm home,
we would be home. Please accept us.
There are neighborhoods such as East Jesus, yeah. West Satan.
Yeah, so all crazy names. But I will say that you being so intrigued by it genuinely like hyped me up and like for taking you out there. I was just like, we're going to be good friends.
And I remember you giving me the prereq and I was like, I don't know why she's like.
I didn't know if you would be.
But I didn't know what it entailed. Like you were so right to do that. Because I think if I did any more research, I probably would have been like, dude, I don't think I'm going. But I have to thank you because that YouTube video is performing the best of anyone I've posted this year.
I know. Also, you did amazing with editing.
Including my cross country road trip.
Like, yeah.
Slab City. Probably because it's so searchable, but like I didn't even know what I was getting myself into. And that's another reason from my perspective why I like love you so much, because I'm like, you have this view of like, let's go do this crazy shit.
Yeah.
That I don't even think I would have, it wouldn't have been on my list of things to do since moving to San Diego 5 months in.
I know. No one knows about it. Like genuinely, like only if like a, because it's also so specific. And again, not everyone's going to like it.
Oh my God. I told my parents that I went and they were like, are you back home safe?
I know.
In the car?
I know. And my parents are like, who's going with you? Let me have her number. Let me have her, send me her parents' location. Number.
You're like, give literally, me the license plate.
Literally. But it was amazing.
Your dad would have tracked my ass down. Your dad would have hunted my
ass down. My dad would have been out there looking for us if anything happened. But essentially, that was the moment when I'm like, she filled that void for me. Because not a lot of people can just on a whim be interested in something like that. I know you like.
I was so into it.
Yeah.
Well, it's also the content creation, everything. And I do think that's another thing that we definitely see eye to eye on and have that lust for let's go create and like experience these new things and bring it to people that maybe otherwise wouldn't see or be exposed to it.
Exactly.
And
I will say Slap City is as weird as it's going to get. I mean, what other day trips do I want to do? Joshua Tree. It's not going to be.
I'm going to go to the Mojave Desert. It's not going to be anything like Slap City.
But that is crazy of us.
We jumped into the deep.
Yes. No, we really did. Like, I'm in shock that we still did it. And it went so well. And now we're like inseparable. The only thing separating us is literally me and you having the most busiest schedules and not aligning.
Opposite sides of the country.
Literally. I know. And so, yeah, we just get along really well.
Yeah.
And energies align. And that's huge for me.
And we both played soccer. I mean, I was a sweeper.
I was a forward.
So it's just like we need each other.
I know.
We make a good team.
We are soul sisters. We are twin flames. Like, I'm so glad I found you. And genuinely, I needed a friend like you.
And likewise, because I stopped vlogging. I wasn't doing travel vlogs. So when you said that, there was, you need to pay attention to when you have this little like gut instinct, because there was something in me that like, I easily could have been like, no, I'm too busy. No, I have no over to worry about. And like that gut instinct, because I was like, I should go do this.
I love
and
that.
I almost said no, and I was like, no, you need to go do this. Well, because everything happened with Nero, and it was
true.
Like, I was just like, I don't know, like I should really like clean the apartment or do this. And I was like, no, you need to do this. And ended up being like the YouTube video that popped off and like reignited this whole traveling and like being like, oh my god, I want to go and interview these strangers that I meet along the way, because that is why, like, I want to connect people in that way. And it just gave me this new outlook. Because I hadn't had that since being here, in the sense of I haven't traveled outside of San Diego.
Yeah.
I mean, I did Joshua Tree and Sequoia with my roommate in September, but we both were so frazzled from the cross-country road trip and everything that happened to her, which Amanda will be on soon and we'll talk about it. But it really helped me to kind of get over that, like, okay, you can leave San Diego. Like, you moved here, but you can go explore other places.
And I think, again, I know I talked about this at the beginning, but that's the beauty of San Diego. And that is why I don't think I can leave, because I'm a mountains girl just as much as I am a beach girl, just as much as I am desert. Like, I can't pick just one. And like thinking about moving away and having to sacrifice one or two of those things really just like breaks my heart. And so like, I won't leave. I just can't.
So do you feel like you will never live permanently anywhere else? Like, you'll never sign a lease anywhere else?
No. I mean, again, we talked about Miami. And it's still up in the air, because I would love to go work in person with my best friend. Right now I'm work from home because she just moved to Miami. But even when I think about it for like a couple of weeks, I'm like, yeah, I totally am going to do that. And then the next day I'm like, oh, fuck, I can't leave. Or like, for example, I just went there for 2 weeks and I'm like, I need to go home. I miss my parents. I miss my friends. I miss San Diego as a whole. So I don't know. I mean, like you said, I can change my mind. But
always,
right now,
always reserve the right to change your mind.
Right now I'm like, I have a good thing here. And I just feel so like at peace here and myself when I'm here.
That's amazing. It's so cool to hear you say that, as, I mean, it's not that we're that many years apart, but everyone's in a different position at different ages, specifically once you leave college, because there's no longer this, you know, overarching like timeline of semesters and years, and, you know, you're there 4 years. But I just think it's so cool that you have that knowledge and being like, oh yeah, I love it here.
Yeah. I was just very fortunate, specifically with where I want to live and where I wanted to go to college. I just knew.
It's crazy, because when my parents were out here, I remember being like, yeah, I'm not staying for just 1 year. My whole shtick was like, I'm gonna move out there for 1 year and then I'll be home and then I'm gonna whatever.
Like, where do you see yourself putting roots? Because yes, I'm not saying tomorrow, so
this is a great question. I feel like you are turning into the interviewer. Welcome to V's podcast. Yeah, so it's another thing that I'm just like open to whatever may come, in the sense of I don't know. I thought I would always have roots on the East Coast, but then I had this like really strong urge to move out here. So then when I did, I was like, oh, I could easily see if I meet someone out here and like they live out here, I would love to be like bi-coastal. But then I'm like, okay, but you haven't even given like Charleston or Austin or these other places you maybe wanted to live a shot.
That's crazy. because I've
I'm getting old.
No.
I'm kidding. But my birthday is this month, so.
Do you want to talk about it?
No.
No, just what kidding.
I love my birthday. I love it.
What I was saying was, it's crazy that you have this urge to want to try so many different places. Mm-hmm. And it's so different from me because I'm like, I only think about Miami.
Like roots.
Because even if I want to move to New York or like NorCal, I couldn't do the weather. That is so San Diego of me to say.
Well, I do have to say, after living here, I think it would be really hard to live somewhere where the weather wasn't as
consistently sunny.
Or just like mild. I don't know. I don't know where I want roots, because I think my parents are also thinking about selling the house that like we all lived in for the past like, what, 15 years at this point or something. And which I'm actually fine with. But I did think that, yeah. So prior to getting out of my last relationship, I thought I wanted to get married in their backyard because like it was I need to paint a better picture. I think people are thinking it's like a backyard. They set it up for their 50th birthday where they put like a clear glass dance floor over the pool. They opened up these big French doors in the back. It did, and they put a tent over it.
It sounds beautiful.
It didn't even look like it didn't look like someone's house.
Oh.
So I was like, that was the only tie I really had. I was like, I really want to get married there. And now I'm like, whoever I meet next, like,
shotgun wedding in Vegas.
Wedding on a mountain. We're eloping on a mountain.
I could see you doing that. Yosemite.
It depends who I meet. I don't know.
I know.
Because I could also easily have like the most Sophia Richie obnoxious wedding if I meet someone who's like, yeah, let's throw down.
Or
I'm eloping on a mountain in like a bikini jumping in a glacial lake. Or both.
Both.
I want both.
Imagine.
No, I want it all. I have really high standards. Everyone's telling me that. I'm like,
high standards?
I know it's out there. I know it's out there.
You know what you want.
But what I'm saying is like, I don't have any preconceived notion of like roots.
Yeah. Which is crazy to me because I'm so opposite. And I just love that we are so different in that way, but we can understand each other.
Well, and I think that is the most beautiful thing about sitting down and having like an open, long form conversation with someone, because that's what our road trip was, and we learned so much about each other, and it was like, cool, we don't agree on everything.
Yeah.
And we talked like ad nauseum about certain things where I was like, cool, we probably like won't agree on certain things ever, like on these topics, but that doesn't change the fact that like I respect you and love you, and we're going to be friends forever. Like,
yeah,
there's a way to, there's just like, I don't know, you kind of realize like that's what life's about, and it's like, oh shit, okay, this is cool.
Yeah.
But it does take experience, and it's just so shitty because everyone says like youth is wasted on the young. It's true.
But now I feel like as I'm getting older, I'm like, I'm still experiencing those youthful moments, like me and you going to Slap City.
That's another thing. I will never actually like grow up to the point where I feel like you can't find that joy and like wonder in like the little things.
Yeah, I feel like we're just,
I'll never let that go.
I know. That's why I feel like you filled that void for me of like adventure and like last minute.
Do I sound like a Peter Pan PB boy right now?
We won't talk about that.
Can we? Are you on Hinge?
No.
No. Are we going? We shouldn't go into dating this episode, right?
We should definitely talk about it later.
Come back for our second episode. No. Well, I do have to say thank you because I yet took another hiatus, and thank you for sitting with me for 3 hours of a straight recording to get to where we need to be for this episode, because like this is a skill that I'm so passionate about, but I haven't perfected. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can ever like perfect. You're always going to be evolving, learning, but I have such a passion for this. I just need to start practicing more and like honing in. And I've given 100 hours to so many things like driving and like editing and all these things, but interviewing someone and having these conversations, I would love to be a part of my career. And this is the start of me like taking it to the next level. So I do want to say thank you for being there through all of this with me.
Another thing me and you don't really align on, which made us even closer, how we handle it, is that like we were talking about content.
Yeah.
I'm like, Lane, you like maybe, like I wasn't also trying to make you do anything that's not you, but I was like, maybe do this more aesthetically, maybe do this. And it could not be, now that I know you more, could not be more opposite to your energy. Just like the name of your podcast, you're all over the place. Your energy is so deep. Like you have such a strong like passion that like I just, the way you, your content is so you. I don't know how to explain it to people. Like the energy that is like exerted through your content is like so you, and it's so authentic.
I think I just have like faith that because I like to consume content that mm-hmm. is what I make, like I love seeing people be just themselves and documenting like their life. It doesn't need to be put together. It doesn't need a start, middle, and yeah. end. It can just be a moment in time that you want to capture and encapsulate and share and then be able to relive. That's what I like. So yeah. that's what I'm putting out there. I just need to find the audience of people that like the same things.
No, I agree.
Or enjoy even consuming something that is just like a moment in time.
Yeah.
Edited a bit, but like it's very raw.
Exactly. And I think we even talked about how I was like, not necessarily yours, but I'm like, you know, like it's really, I love aesthetically pleasing.
Oh, as do I.
Instagram.
I don't want to knock TikTok. Like, I have the utmost respect for everything you put out too, because it's like thought out and curated and beautiful.
Yeah, I make sure to put out like ADD doesn't let me. No. And that's where it's like such a crazy thing that you were even like, you know what? That is awesome. But it's not me. And it's, that's why I just like hope like everyone just knows you're so authentic. And like
at some point it'll click. For me, it's documentation. And I'm starting to get more clear on like what my purpose is. And it's documentation.
And I think a lot of people hold themselves back, kind of what I was saying before, till their content's perfect to be put out. But at the end of the day, you're still going to look back a year, you know, later and be like, what the fuck was I posting? I look back months ago and I'm like, why did I think that was like good enough? But
oh shit, I actually look back and think I did better when I put like hour. I didn't sleep.
No, I mean, essentially there is a time in my life where I was like, dang, I was really like doing putting out some really good content. But I say like, we look back and we're like, look how far we've come and like just progressed.
You can evolve, just like I said, like you don't ever need to like stick to something you said. You can always change your mind. Right now this is what like feels good to me or like comes naturally. Maybe one day I'll have like a super organized something something,
or maybe you'll never be or that
maybe
person.
I'll find a fucking manager, because I need a manager.
Anyways, wink wink
y'all looking for some talent? No, I really need a manager. Oh shit.
As Lane's saying that, I'm literally a social media manager and I'm like,
I forgot.
It's my new job.
I don't have enough TikTok followers for you.
We're not going to get into that.
We just did. Is there anything else that you would like to leave the listeners with?
One thing I can totally stand behind and that I want to encourage everyone to do, because I get a lot of like comments and questions, mainly comments about how like your life looks amazing. You do so many things, like, you know, you're always doing something. Mm-hmm. How do you get to these new restaurants, that day trip? Like, how did you plan it? I just want to encourage everyone to just go do it.
Do it.
Kind of like Slab City. Like, I literally just texted you, said, let's go. We had a plan. Yeah, I'm type A. I had a plan. I'm not going to lie.
She did plan it. Thank God. Because
if
I showed up, we would have ended up living there.
I never coming home. Slab City singles. We would have.
I am the queen of Slab City singles.
No, but seriously,
can
like
we do a whole episode on Slab City?
I'll
outline it.
Of course. And we gotta educate ourselves. Me. I know you did some digging. I need to educate myself on it.
I was so deep in that rabbit hole. But you were saying you would like to leave them with just do it.
Just go out and, you know, people always say like, you go to so many restaurants, just go do it. Make that reservation in 2 weeks and hold yourself to it. Invite somebody ahead of time. But also don't wait. Like, I feel like we all say, it's one of my pet peeves for someone mm-hmm. to be like, let's go do this, and we never do it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really what Golden West Club is about, is like create new experiences, go out and do those things that you say you want to do and, you know,
make it a reality.
Exactly. And that's why we get along so well, Lane.
Dude, I can't wait to see where Golden West Club goes and takes you, and ultimately takes me, because I'm following you everywhere.
I'll take you anywhere with me.
So excited. If you made it this far, I love you. Thank you for coming and listening to another episode of All Over the Place with Lane Fable. Special thank you to Golden West Club, Veronica. You'll be back.
I'll be back. And thank you.